Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Now, the book Judges is interesting. In chapter 2, verse 10, it says that a generation rose up after them, after Joshua and that generation that he took into the promised land, that first generation. After that generation who saw the mighty deeds, the works of God, the powerful hand of God, after that generation went on to be with the Lord, it says a generation rose up that did not know God. They did not know the works of God. So this generation, they just didn't get it. We don't ever want to have a generation that doesn't know revival. We don't ever want to have a generation that doesn't know what it is to be really incredibly whacked in the Holy Ghost. I mean, not a generation that's trying their best to be good Christian folk. I mean, a generation who've had a face-to-face with God that you cannot take from them ever. They got whacked in the Holy Ghost, moved by God. They got translated into a glory realm that nobody can ever take from them. It's an experience that they didn't go looking for, but it found them, it wrapped them, it ripped them wide open, and you'll never, ever be able to tell them I had or I didn't have an experience with God. Because they did. They had it. I did it. I done it. I've seen the face of God, and I know he loves me. We can't have a generation that rises up and doesn't walk in that living, breathing experience with God. Not in Brazil anymore. That was where the silver rings would get tossed, right there. Praise him. Another generation rose up and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. They did evil. Now we're reading out of the Old Covenant. This is the book of Judges. But how many know that when Paul preached and talked about the Word of God, he was talking about the Old Testament? How many know that? A lot of people don't. A lot of people are like, I don't like the Old Testament. I just like the New Testament part of the Bible. Well, when Paul was referring to the Holy Scriptures, he was referring to the Old Testament. He was then writing the New Testament. But when he referred to the Word of the Lord, he referred to the Old Testament. When he said, read the Scriptures, when he said, have faith in the Word of God, he was talking about the Old Testament. I don't read the Old Testament, don't like that stuff. No way, that's all the law. I don't do that. I'm a New Testament believer. Hallelujah. Well, the New Testament says that the Old Testament was written for your instruction. So you should understand it because you're going to see, you're going to learn, you're going to know about God. So you see, what happens when you're the people of God, you're a face-to-face experiential people of God, walking in his goodness and walking in his glory. You know, when you stop living in that experience, your faith's going to become dull, your experience will become dull, and it's likely that you're going to spiral because if you're not full on hot, if you're not hotter today for God than you were yesterday, you are a backslider. If there's a moment in your life that you were hotter for Jesus than you are today, you're not only a backslider, but you have backslidden. You got to be living right now in a full on, this is the day of the Lord. There's never been a day like this day. I've never, ever had a bad worship experience. I've had bad worship services where people are bad worshipers, but I've never had a bad worship experience because I didn't come to hear the band. I came to see the face of God. When you come through the blood of Jesus, I mean, if I just got my wife with me and she agrees with me, boop, two or more, woohoo! It's always good, always. I don't care if Fred's playing the chopsticks, and it's ugly. It don't even matter. As long as Jesus' name's being lifted up, whoa, it's glory. But there's people, their whole experience is based on the outer, based on their outer experience. And they don't have an internal fountain springing up in them that no matter what's going on, it could be a desert and a famine experience outside of me. It don't matter because I've got an internal spring that's welling up. It's pumping every day. Don't matter. I could be surrounded by the worst sinners in the world. But inside, I got a revolution going on. Ba-boom, ba-boom. You see, here's a bunch of people, they didn't know the power of God. They weren't trained in the ways of God. Sad, sad thing. They didn't understand the power and purposes of God. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, the king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of the army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. A lot of work right there. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Well, we're new covenant believers, Pastor. You know, we don't get sold by God to nothing. You don't, you know, but, you know, God's hands are always around you. He is always willing to keep you, but you got to be willing to be kept. And God will never fail you. His love will never relax its grip on you. It's not a question of him. It's a question of you. That's why he's talking to believers. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. So you got to be in that constant full out for God. But there's times where people just, our culture is so busy, is it not? I mean, we got so much going on. I mean, I just got back from holidays and I've PVR'd American Idol, The Voice, and I got Survivor to catch up on. I mean, I got so much stuff to catch up on. I mean, going away is so hard. You know, we in our culture get caught up in so much nonsense. And I think the biggest idol that we have in our culture is it's my time. You know what I think, man? We got to put some time in with Jesus. We've got to put some time in with God. We got to have a daily dose of the Holy Ghost. It's better than the one before because he gets better every day. Every day with Jesus is better than the day before. Boom, boom, boom. Every day with Jesus, he loves me more and more. I said, Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus, it's sweeter than the day before. Oh, how many felt the mustard on that? Wow. It was a spicy honey Dijon. It was nice. Wow. But here's a group they didn't know, but here they did something smart. And you'll see in Judges all the time, there was this constant cycle of you know, getting bored with the God stuff. They fall into sin, and then all of a sudden they end up serving, you know, the enemy. And all of a sudden, oh, God, this is no good. Being with you is much better. So God says, tough luck. You want to serve the devil? Have a nice life. Oh, it says that he called out to the Lord, and he heard me, delivered me. They cried out to the Lord, and sure enough, they got restored into that place again. And you see this cycle in Judges over and over again. Spiral down, whoop, pop up again. Spirals down, whoop, pop up again. But you know what? You study church history. You study the history of the church. You'll see that there's a generation serving God. Revival, woo! A fire revival, wow! And honestly, I have to admit, like, 15 years ago, we were having fiery, crazy meetings. I'm still having them personally all the time. Because, you know, I thank God. Show me your glory. How many people with Moses on the mountain? How many? Show me your glory. Okay. I mean, you can have a glory experience anytime. It doesn't have to be anybody with you. You just say, show me your glory. And he so much wants to show up. But I love it when the meetings are so reckless that he's dropping his glory. It's just there. It's coming, dripping like reckless flows of honey. It's good. And I love those meetings where you don't know what's going to happen. It's crazy. It's nuts. But somehow it's okay. Because God's moving on people. Lives are being changed. You know, those were some wild times. You know what? I think God's going to take it to another level, even more amazing than that. I believe we're going to be able to steward a revival so much better because of what we've been through as a people. But we're going to steward the next one and tell you it's going to go. We got a wineskin that's ready to take this sucker to new levels. Okay, I gotta get on with this. I do. So they cried out to God. Good thing, amen. And you know, if you felt better about God some other day, you're closer some other day, just stop right now and say, Jesus! Come on, there he is, right there. You draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. You come on, you get back there, get back. Because he is awesome. He'll overcome every single thing. He's not hard to get along with. Yeah, he doesn't care who he blesses. Just ask him. I would. I'd keep score, but he don't. You just cry out to him and he comes. So sure enough, they cried out to the Lord. And it says, now Deborah, a prophetess. So the Lord's always going to raise up somebody. Somebody's going to be raised up. There's somebody who's going to be raised up to cause the people of God to get stirred up and refreshed again. So in the story here, you see that she finally said enough is enough, and she couldn't take it because the people, you know, it says that nobody was on the streets anymore. It says the cities, the towns were abandoned. I mean, it was bad. This was a bad, bad, bad time. I mean, there was nothing going on. These people were really heavily, heavily oppressed. And she said, enough is enough. I'm getting so tired of all these people coming to me and the needs of these people. They're wearing me down. And then she said, I'm going to change this. I'm going to deal with this. It says, now I arose up. And so she rose up and she calls this guy Barak. And he says, Barak means lightning. Barak, come on, I want you to come and I want you to help me. And we're going to do this thing. And then she says, go and God's going to be with you. He's anointed you to destroy these kings, to get these oppressors. And these were the worst. I mean, these were the worst oppressors ever. These people were professional oppressors. I mean, they really knew how to mess with people. But God's going to deal with them. And Barak said, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to do it without you. And she said, all right, but you're going to get no blessing or glory from this. It's all going to be given to a woman because you're a bit of a scaredy cat. Had to have me come with you. Anyways, she goes with them. They go and they defeat this enemy. The enemy is routed and they're gone. It's a glorious victory. God fights for them. God gets involved. It says the stars got involved. It says all of nature floods. Everything moved in their favor for an incredible, ridiculous breakthrough. So even this wonderful kid named JL, the king, he took off to her tent and he's like, oh my goodness, I hope we're winning. I don't know what's going on. The battle got ugly. Hide me. So she says, come on in here. I'll hide you. And he says, can you give me some water? Oh, better than that. I'll give you some hot milk. And she threw some drugs in the milk, gave him some hot milk. And he was whacked out in a deep haze. And she took a tent peg and a hammer. And she put it right through his temple. Not just a bit, but she hammered him right through to the ground. Wow. That's why I don't like the Old Testament, Pastor. I mean, that's some ugly stuff right there. In Bible school, we had one of the kids in our class in a talent show. He wrote a song about that. And the chorus part went like this. She drove a tent peg through his head. She drove a tent peg until he was dead. She drove a tent peg through his head. She drove a tent peg until he was dead. It was interesting. You had to be there, but it was... write songs about these stories. Sorry? It was Sisera. Sisera was the general. He drove the tent peg through his head, so that was good. So we want to be people reformers. We want to be people that rise up. We want to be. There's Deborahs in the house today. There's Baraks in the house today. There's reformers in the house today. A couple of little quotes on reform. You ready? Here's some quotes on reform. Here comes Ralph Waldo Emerson. He said, what is a man born for but to be a reformer, a remaker of what has been made, a denouncer of lies, restorer of truth and good? We were born to be reformers. We were born, and as believers, we are called to be reformers. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are born. It's in our DNA as children of God to be bringing all this back under the headship of Christ. We're called to be reformers. George Bernard Shaw, he said, the best reformers the world has ever seen are those who commence on themselves. That was good. That's true, isn't it? We've got a lot of people, they'll join any cause, they'll run around after causes, but they're a miserable mess themselves. But that's pretty good. It's not the Bible, but it's, you know, George Bernard Shaw. Interesting quote. Johann Casper, he was a reformer. He said, he who reforms himself has done more towards reforming the public than a crowd of noisy, impotent patriots. Hey, if you want reform, how many would like to see our world change? You know, it really does start with you. It really does. I got so many believers who can't manifest Jesus in their own lives, and yet, you know, they'll come, Jesus, you're wonderful. It doesn't work for me, but oh, you're wonderful. You should all try. It doesn't work for me. I mean, we are the biggest manifestation of who he is. We are his witnesses. It doesn't say go say witnesses. It says go be a witness. You know, this has got to work in our lives. If we're going to be reformers, there should be something going on in us. Now, in Brazil, it was great to be down there because I was down about 13 or 14 years ago. I can't believe it was so long ago. But I've seen so much change in Brazil just since my last visit. And Pastor Billy and Angela, when they went down there, less than 10% of Brazil were evangelical Christians. Most people in Brazil would be considered Catholics, but not Catholics as we would think, but Spiritist Catholics that literally worship gods, the god of the sea, it's a weird, funky idolatry that's full of witchcraft and spiritism. And that was, the whole nation was steeped in that. Billy said, literally, you could come into areas and you could feel the witchcraft. You could feel the darkness. He says, even coming there now, he says, it's amazing how much more light you feel in your spirit and how different it is. But, you know, they went from less than 10% evangelical Christians to they're cruising now on almost 40% evangelical Christians in Brazil. You know, that was like only just over 30 years ago that a bunch of believers rose up like Deborahs and said, enough is enough. You know, Billy, when he lived in Brazil, he was robbed 28 times, many times by gunpoint. One time he was just driving in his car, stopped at a light, and a guy reached in the window, put a gun in his head, said, get out, and the guy just took his car. And even still today, when it's late at night, we're coming home from a meeting, Billy just cruises right through the red lights. You don't stop. He said, and he locks the doors all the time. If you click, you hear the doors lock, and zoom, we're going right through the red lights. And Billy's going, I've been through this place before where I got a flat tire, just kept going. He says, I'm driving on the rim, sparks flying everywhere. You don't even stop here. You know what I mean? But we go there now, and I'm feeling like all these stories are scary. I mean, Cheryl and I are in Rio de Janeiro down by the beach, just walking to a restaurant, and I'm like paranoid. Like, you know, I mean, there's people walking around with their kids, but those kids got guns. I don't know, but I tell you, they're all, I'm going, this is some crazy stuff here. But yeah, Cheryl's like, what are you doing? I'm pulling out the map. I'm trying to look at the map to find this restaurant. Cheryl's going, what are you doing? I don't want people to know I'm a tourist. And Cheryl's like, look at yourself. You got a big T on your forehead. You are the obvious. Like, you don't look at all like a Brazilian. You are like, you are a tourist. Pull out the map and let's look at it. Are you sure? I mean, man of faith and power. You know, it's so awesome to see a culture reformed. It's so awesome to see a whole nation changing. It's so awesome. Billy, when he was there as a missionary, he used to go in the morning to the bank, line up, take all his money out of the bank, and then in the evening, go back at closing time, put his money back in. Because the inflation was so bad, if you left your money in, your money lost value sometimes of 50% a day. It was so ridiculous. So he had to go to the bank early in the morning. He said, my whole ministry was go to the bank, stand in line, get my money out, stand back in line, put my money back in. He said it was just ridiculous. But the whole thing has changed now. Now it is a thriving economy. It's a growing nation. It's a powerful thing. And it's so awesome to see that Billy says it's clear that the people of God and the rise of evangelical believers in this nation have caused this change. It's they who've affected the corruption and come against these things. And it's just the Spirit of God moving in the area that is changing a nation. Awesome to see, you know. And, you know, same thing, South Korea after the Korean War. I mean, South Korea was a pagan nation. And now you look at South Korea today and they've got over 50%. You know, and in South Korea, it's 50% spirit-filled, tongue-talking, fire-breathing believers. They got major churches in Korea. Is it Paul? I can't remember. He's changed his name so many times. But Cho, his church has lent money to the government. I mean, the government comes to church looking for money. Come on, that's got to happen here, don't you think? It's happening in a small way right now. You know that the city and our government cannot meet the needs of this community. They're not. And you know what? We're doing it. We're putting smart boards in the school. We're the one feeding the hungry. We're putting food in people's mouths. We're dealing with it. We're making sure people still have Christmas. Why? Because the government can't do it. You know what? The government shouldn't be doing it. That's where we all got dumb and lazy as believers. I thought, well, I'll pay my taxes. What do I got to pay my tithes for? Going to come a day where the government can't do a thing for you, and it's going to be the body of Christ. It's going to be a supernatural church that's feeding the community and moving. It's a church that believes that now that's going to, well, I'll get with the program then. You need to get with the program now. But I tell you, there's going to be a wave of ugly that comes, but it ain't going to touch us because we're going to be the bright lights that are shining in glory and majesty. Darkness may rise and gross darkness to people, but upon you a light has come. Who are you? It's the people believing today. All right, I got to move on. How'd I get into that sermon? My goodness. All right. Johann Caspary said, he who reforms himself has done more towards reforming the public than the crowd of noisy, impotent patriots. Mark Twain, great theologian Mark Twain. The church is always trying to get other people to reform. Might not be a bad idea to reform itself. Hello? You know what the problem with Canada is, Pastor? It's all those unbelievers. We got a bunch of immigrants coming in who don't know God. Got a bunch of things going on that's just messing up our nation. I thank God that we have people coming from every nation of the world. Did you know how hard it is to get into some of the nations of the world now? I mean, I go to nations of the world now, they won't let me preach. I have to get a visa to preach, and they won't grant it to you. And if you do preach, I get chased all around. They're trying to steal my passport and throw me in jail. It's getting really, really hard for a white fellow like me to go over there and preach the gospel. Do you know what we need? We need the nations to come to us. They can come to a nation that's full of the truth, a Christian nation full of the power and the majesty of God, a nation that can change people, and they'll go back fire-breathing and change their nations. They don't have to work through translators. They don't have to deal with cultural problems and issues. They can go and do incredible things. I'm glad the nations are coming to us. You know, sinners are not the problem in this nation. Sin isn't even the problem in this nation. It's a dead church. You know that 2,000 years ago, When Jesus said, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Sin was dealt with. Every sin in the whole world was forgiven, potentially done right then, past, present, and future. Sin is no longer a problem. Unconfessed sin, unresolved sin, or the good news not declared, that is the problem. But the good news is people are forgiven, people are free. The problem is the church is still full of bigots, ignorant people, people who don't know the truth. People are spouting off a bloodless, false gospel that has no power to touch the nation. There's no love in it. It's no fun. Okay. Amen. I'm just freestyling today. It's getting rough. I think we should stop the recording now. My goodness. All right. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Very popular verse, right? Look how it starts, 2 Chronicles. Now, this was Solomon, and Solomon was, you know, built the temple. God came, his glory fell, and God said, you know what? And if you folks screw up, and if things start to get ugly, here it is. You ready? Take this little pill right here. If my people, if them people, no. If my people, who my people? My people. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. When my people who are called by my name, my children, and God's not worried about the other children. He's already shed his blood for all the other folk. God's worried about his kids. When I see my neighbor kids messing stuff up, hey, don't do that. But if my kids do it, I'll give them a licking. You know, when my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray, and I love that song Cheryl sang, and seek my face. See, seek my face, what does that mean? Seek to live in my presence. Seek to live in a supernatural realm. That's what it is. But you see, we got a whole church today that doesn't want anything unexplainable going on, doesn't want anything weird going on. We're trying to reach the world through carnal tools. We're trying to reach them through man's eloquence and wisdom. Don't we do church good? Come to my church. We do church good. Don't go to that church. That church, things weird happen there. I mean, crazy stuff goes on. I mean, you could feel things when you're in that church. But come to my church, you'll feel nothing. But they do it really well. A lot of people, they don't want anything strange to happen in church. The service is totally controlled from beginning to end. And that's it. It's really good, though. I go, I hear them do it. And I go, that's awesome. What an awesome preacher. What a great guy. But there's no presence of God there. It's just excellence on flesh. You can go to hell in a spirit of excellence. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear. I will forgive and I will heal their land. You know what, folks? It's all about us. It's all about us. It really is. And I don't want to put some weird yoke on you like, we got to try harder. I don't want you trying harder. I just want you to fall in love with Jesus. You don't have to try that. I fell in love with Cheryl. I started doing dishes. My dad was like, my God, what's wrong with him? My mom was like, he's really gone now. He's done. I never seen that before. My God. Cheryl's like, I never seen it again. I tell you, when you get in a relationship like that, I don't let's see now, American Idol or spend time with Cheryl? American Idol or spend time with Cheryl? American Idol? Cheryl, do you want to watch American Idol? I don't know what's going on with the church. So many things have crept in. You know how the salt loses its savor? Mixture. That's the only way you can cause salt to lose its power. Mix it with other stuff. And the church is full of mixture today. It's not that you're committing sins. I mean, the problem is that we're even passionless about that. I mean, some of you don't even commit sin very good. Your sin isn't even passionate because you're sinning and you feel like you're sinning. You got some guilt. Should I be doing this? Oh, my God. But if you're going to sin, knock yourself out. You don't even do that with passion. We just need to fall in love with Jesus. That's not work, is it? My goodness. Reaching the lost, having a passion for people who are sick and not well, having a passion to see the globe flooded with the glory of God, having a passion that you cannot rest, you cannot sleep, I mean, you cannot do anything. You got a burden on you that I will not stop until I see this whole city touched with the glory of God. Where is that passion? Oh, God, stir it up in me like a reckless fire. Just do what God wants you to do. You think God would let me watch American Idol? I think so. He wants me in his presence all the time. There's Christian kids on American Idol. Get on there and cheer for them. Woo! Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is he okay with that? He's okay with that. I was watching a basketball game one time. All by myself. Nobody else around. My favorite time. So I'm watching it. There it is. And one of the guys came. He went, ooh, slammed the ball right over top. Went right over top of a guy and just posterized him with a slam dunk. I was like, I came off the chair. I went, woo! Man, that was awesome. And I'm literally an audible voice. You really like this, don't you? And I'm like, did Jesus speak to you? He did. And he said, I love watching you enjoy this. No, he didn't create me to be a, what now, God? What now? Have I done enough for you today before I watch American Idol? Have I done enough, oh mighty God? I don't think he's looking. I'm going to sneak one in anyway. He's always there. Just enjoy that. He enjoys that. I mean, if you like that, like it. He created all things for your enjoyment. We get so religious and so weird sometimes, we can't even have fun. All right, let's get back. If my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. I will, I will, I will. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's done. London is healed. London is free. Woo. It really is. And it's really, I love that it's that simple. But it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory. When you sin, you wreck your relationship with God and other people, and you fall short of the glory. What's the glory? The glory of God is to live and breathe and walk in his presence and be enjoying him and manifesting his goodness. And you know, you can do that while you're working. You can do that while you're reading a book. You can do that while you're raising your kids. You can do that while you're at the park throwing a football. You can give glory to God in everything you do. Whatever you're doing, do it as unto the Lord. Everything. You walk around, I'm in a Holy Ghost coma. I'm serving God. Ephesians 1:22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Praise you, Jesus. I love Ephesians, my favorite book. You see, what is it? The church. Jesus is the head over all things and is the church. The church is his body. The church is how he expresses himself. The church is how he manifests himself now in the earth. The church is his body, and it's through the church, his body, that he's going to fill everything in every way. It's us. So if anything's going to happen, if his glory and his goodness is going to fill the earth, it's going to be through us. It's going to be through the church. Ephesians 3:20-21. It says that now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. See, every generation, God has committed himself that it's the church, it's the power of God, the glory of God working in and through the church. In every generation is how he's going to manifest himself powerfully. So the church is what Mark Twain said. If the church is going to try and change somebody, it should start with itself. That's biblical. Because the church is the vehicle of revelation. It says in Timothy that the church is the pillar of all truth. Pillar and foundation of all truth is the church. If something's out of line in culture, it's because the church, who is the pillar and the foundation of all truth, isn't manifesting. So we got to be the church. One more out of Ephesians. Ephesians 4, this is 11 to 13, but 11's not there, but 11 is. And as he rose, Jesus rose, when he ascended, he gave gifts of people. Gave gifts of human. It's not gender specific. It says, if some translations say he gave gifts of men. Some translations say gifts to men. He didn't give gifts to men. He gave gifts of people. There are people that he endowed with headship giftings. There are people who themselves embodied a gift. And they were not gender specific. They were not male or female. They were people that Jesus Christ himself wrapped in a headship gifting. And he gave them to the body of Christ. So he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I was on an apostolic journey. I went down to Brazil on an apostolic journey. I literally went down there on purpose to shift something in a region. I spoke into a whole region. See, an apostle, when an armada of ships would travel from Rome, the headship would be the apostleship. The apostle ship was the first ship. And what the ship would do is before any of the Roman government would come or the main rulers, an apostle would go and establish the region of Rome, the culture of Rome, so that when somebody came from Rome, they would feel they were totally at home. So I'm an ambassador of heaven. So I go down into any region as an apostle and I establish the kingdom of heaven so that anybody from heaven or God himself, he can come and feel totally at home because I as an apostle have come and I've shaped the culture of heaven and established the region under apostolic headship. When I go down there, if anything is not manifesting the kingdom of God as an apostle, I speak to those things, I cast them out and say that's out of order. And I went down to Victory in the Holy Ghost, and I spoke total victory in the Holy Ghost over that area, called in a full inheritance, and I'm expecting to hear a wild, incredible breakthrough in that region because the first arrow went, wrecked things in the heavenly, and we lose some incredible things in the earth. Oh, it was good. Anyway, for the equipping of the saints, why? For the works of ministry, and so by the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the full stature of Christ himself. So we do have leadership, and we do have all the rest, everybody. We have headship ministries and things, gifts of Christ, all here. And those are here to equip the body so that the body can grow up and come to full maturity so that the church can rise to the full stature of Christ himself. How many think that would be really, really cool? And it says that he's not coming until that happens. So we have to, if that's the purpose of God, then we've got to be engaged in doing that. So that's all that. Now I'm going to take you to Judges chapter 5. We're going to finish up right here. I want to show you that whole little apostolic pattern right here in Judges chapter 5. Are you ready? This is the Song of Deborah. I'm going to read this. There's a song of Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on the day, saying, when the leaders led in Israel and when the people willingly offered themselves, bless the Lord. Let me read it again. You missed it. When the leaders led in Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves, bless the Lord. When the leaders lead and the people willingly offer themselves, praise God. Things are going to shift. Did you know that I can't do this? Even the leadership in this church can't do it. I can have the most charisma and gifts and callings and all these things. And you know what? The headship of Christ, the anointed ministries, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, they're not there to do it. They're there to equip to do it. And see, when the leaders lead and do what they're supposed to do, but when the rest of the folks, when the people, when they come and they willingly offer themselves is like a Nazarite term. It's a term where they totally set themselves apart to a purpose, but they don't do it because they got beat over the head. They do it willingly. I hate it when I'm leading a group of people that are, all right, Pastor, let's get it done. A woman's breakfast on a Saturday morning. You want men to come serve. Who likes leading a group of people like that? You know, when the leaders lead and people show up and go, man, I can't wait to do this. I'm excited about this. I'm setting myself apart to this. I can't wait for it. Willingly. Now, you don't want as a pastor, you see, a pastor doesn't like the week after week to flog people. Get with the program. What's the matter with you? You could serve God better. Deborah, what's the matter with you? Don't you know Jesus is watching your life every day? His eye's on you. It's always on you. He's testing you every day, Deborah. When you stand before him, what are you going to say? American Idol was on. Are you going to say that? Is that what you're going to say, Deborah? I tell you, you're in the very presence of God right now. You should be careful what you're doing every moment of the day. You know, a lot of churches preach that over and over again because we're trying to get people, come on, do the duty, do the duty. Don't do the duty. Fall in love with Jesus. And let's do it willingly. It's a terrible thing when you got to, get people to do the stuff. Beating the people. But you see, when the leaders lead and the people willingly offer themselves, praise God! Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will praise the God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured. The clouds also poured. Why did this happen? When did that start to happen? When the leaders lead, the people willingly offer themselves. Praise God! God is going to operate in and through that people. They're going to be a people who operate in reformation and change their culture. All right, you poured out, the clouds poured out, the mountains gushed forth. In these days, Shagbar, son of Anoth, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted. Travelers walked along byways. I mean, people were living in fear. Villages ceased. I mean, everything ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, rose up. I rose up and I stirred myself as a mother in Israel, someone who had a passion, somebody who cared about what was going on. And I said, that's enough. They chose new gods. Then there were war in the gates and there was no shield, no spear. Among 40,000, I mean, the people had, their cities were ruined. They wouldn't even walk on the main streets. They had to go down the side streets and corridors. Everybody was living in fear and bondage, and they had no weapons. And we're talking about a miserable, miserable culture. My heart is with the rulers of Israel who offered themselves willingly with the people. That's good, isn't it? Because there, here's what you got. You got not just the not just the people offering themselves willingly, but the leaders are offering themselves willingly. It says, speak, you who ride on the white donkeys, you sit in judges' attire, and who walk along the roads, far from the noise of the archers among the watering places, there shall sound or recount the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts for his villages in Israel, and the people of the Lord shall go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, sing a song, arise, Barak, and lead your captives away, O son of Benom. Then the survivors came down. Then the people and the nobles, they came down for me. The Lord came down for me against the mighty. From Ephraim, there were those whose roots were in Amalek. After you, and then there was Benjamin, the people from Machir. Rulers came down, and Zebulun, and those who bear recruiter's staff. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. And as Issachar was, so was Barak, sent into the valley under his command. Among the divisions of Reuben, though, there were those with great resolve of heart. Should we or shouldn't we? Well, I'm going to test this first, Pastor, and see if it's the will of God. We're trying to reach souls for Jesus. I know, but I got to think about it. Well, we're trying to get lost people into the kingdom. Let me pray about it. I've got to take some time and really see if God wants me to be involved in that. In reaching the lost, you've got to take some time? Well, there were some folks who had kind of resolve of heart. Why did you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the piping of flocks? The division of Reuben have great searching of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. They didn't even care. Then there was Dan. He remained in his ships. I'm a businessman. I've got a life, you know. Dan stayed in his ships. Asher continued at the seashore and stayed by their nets. Zebulun, a people who jeopardized their very lives. Zebulun, though, they got involved. They jeopardized their very lives to the point of death. Naphtali, also on the heights of the field. The kings came and fought, and the kings of Canaan came and fought. How many tracking with me? Are you okay? In Tanakh, by the waters of Megiddo, they took up the spoils of the silver. They fought. Now listen, verse 20. They fought from the heavens. I mean, some tribes got involved, some didn't. But then, I mean, the heavens got involved. The angels got involved. Heaven started to fight with them. Even creation started to work with them. A torrent from Kishon swept them away. An ancient torrent. A torrent of Kishon. Oh, my soul, march on in strength. I'm feeling myself today. Then the horses' hooves pounded and galloping of steeds. Curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse its inhabitants bitterly, for they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Most blessed among men is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Blessed is she among women in tents. He asked for water. She gave him milk. She brought out the cream in a lordly bowl. In a lordly bowl. A lordly bowl. In a lordly, what is a lordly? Brought it out, and it must have been a big bowl, a lordly bowl. Brought him out. She stretched out her hand, got a tent peg in her right hand, and boom, with a workman's hammer, she pounded Sisera. She pierced his head. She split and struck through his temple. At her feet, he sank. He fell, and he lay at her feet. He sank. He fell. Where he sank, there he fell. This is a song, by the way. I don't know what the music is, but it is a song of Deborah. Pretty gruesome stuff, huh? Saw 14. Anyways. The mother of Sisera looked through the window and cried out through the lattice, why is his chariot so long coming? Why does he tarry? Where is my son? Go all the way down to verse 31. Thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the sun when it comes to its full strength. Okay, real quick, you ready? Seven things, and they're right there. There's seven things, and I'm just going to name them. We're just going to list them. I'm not going to preach every one of them. We're just going to talk about them real fast. You ready? Number one. Folks, we got to cry out to God. We got to cry out to God. We got to do that. That isn't like, oh. God! God. You're the man. We can do it. There's nobody like you. I understand your heart, your purpose, what you want to do. I'm with you. Let's cry out to God. Leaders got to rise up. Leaders got to shake themselves, got to stir themselves up. They got to rise up. And then the people have to offer themselves willingly. And the leaders have to offer themselves willingly. You know what's worse than a person who doesn't want to be there and isn't there, isn't happy to be there? You know what's worse than that? A leader who doesn't want to be there and isn't happy. Wouldn't it be awful to be led by somebody who, I don't know. I guess we should reach the lost. I don't know. I guess he's a healer. I don't know. American Idol's on tonight. People cry out to God. Leaders rise up. Leaders rise up. I want to see this church grow in a big way this year. I want to see results in this house. I want to take responsibility for me, but I also want to take responsibility for us as a church. I want to start seeing some real, reckless, incredible results. And we got to prove that. We got to be a place where, you know what, you go to that church, you'll get results. You can go to a lot of other churches and get a do-good lesson and 5 points on how to deal with stress. But we want to get results. Want to get results. Then number four, they act in faith. I put nonsense. Some people don't know what faith is, so here's my definition of faith. Nonsense. What do you mean by nonsense? We walk by faith, not by sight. See, if what you're doing involves sight, it's involved in the sense realm, and if you can see it, then you don't need God. If it's something that you can achieve on your own, which are some things we need to do, it's wonderful, the things that we need to do, but we need to attempt some stuff and believe some stuff that if God doesn't show up, we're in trouble. So you know what? If you're not trying some stuff where people go, what are you doing? That's nonsense. Exactly. I got a breakthrough, and there's no physical way that this can happen. There is no earthly remedy or answer to my problem. That's where you need some nonsense. You need to step into a realm where you got to believe God to show a breakthrough. Well, how will God do that? I don't know. But your part is to do the man-sized part, which is faith. Faith is a magnet for the power of God. And when you loose your faith and recklessly do it, but most people, they step into faith like this. I believe, Lord. Oh, my God, I don't know. I don't know. That's not faith. That's just doubt, fear, and unbelief. So act in faith. Number five, ignore the negatives. No, some people aren't showing up. Some people didn't come. I mean, Reuben's down there. Reuben wonders if it's the will of God. They're down there still thinking about it. And we got some of these businessmen. They don't think it's their responsibility. They're busy doing business, so they didn't show up. And then we got these other folks. I mean, some people aren't with us. Some, I don't know. Some people might not agree. Who cares? I got a lot of people saying we gotta get critical mass. What does that mean? We got to get enough people in agreement for God to do something. If I really believed that, I'd have quit a long time ago. I mean, I'm in a room by myself, and I got two opinions. I just got to line up with God. One person hooking up with God is a breakthrough. Deborah rose up, shook herself, and said, let's get this thing done. So bang, you can get it done. You got to ignore the noisy negatives. You got to ignore that. You know what? There's all kinds of people. There's always people going to tell you don't do it because you're going to show them that they're average. So don't worry about it. Remember the guy, you know why they called it the Fosbury flop? The Fosbury flop is how every jumper now jumps. You watch the Olympics this year, every single jumper will use the Fosbury flop. You know, the first guy showed up, his name was Fosbury. And Fosbury jumped over 5 feet. You know how he did it? Head first and backwards. Nobody ever did that before. His name was Fosbury. And Fosbury started jumping that way. And everybody said, oh, look at the Fosbury flop. That's a flop. That ain't going to work. Now everybody does it. And he's the guy who broke 5 feet, broke 6 feet. Now they're jumping really high. People are doing it. And who'd ever thought that you run down to a bar and then turn backwards and jump? People thought that was crazy. Did you see how high I got there? That was awesome. When the anointing's on you, glory to Jesus, I can fly. I believe I can fly. I believe. But, man, wasn't that a thanks, honey? Ignore the noisy negatives. But, you know, when you loose your faith on something, you just loose it. You know what? It says then the stars got involved. It wasn't like they stood there and went, oh, look, God's involved. Let's get into it. No, nothing was going on. The enemy was there. The enemy had 900 chariots. The enemy had real weapons. We don't have spears or shields, and we're showing up for the fight. Attack! That's nonsense. But you see, when you'll step into nonsense because God told you to, God shows up. And all of a sudden, I don't know what's going on. Look at the stars are fighting for. So what are stars? Stars, typically in the Bible, stars are angels. The angels start getting involved. Literally, they see angels intervening. I mean, this is amazing stuff. Heaven is at work for me. Woo! Heaven found a puppy dog with $100,000 in a paper bag and brought him to my door. Woo! Well, that'll never happen. I'm still believing for it, confessing it every day. Supernatural stuff. And then, number seven, there's some MVPs. There's always the most valuable players. You know, I've heard preachers, and some preachers I love and respect, all say it's going to be a faceless mass that brings in this next revival. It's going to be a faceless generation. I beg to differ. Because everywhere in the Bible, people who did things, it doesn't say, and that guy did this. And then there was a girl in a tent who killed the Sisera. And then there was that guy who went and preached all over Asia. And then there was that other fella. We don't want to name anybody because we want it to be a nameless, faceless generation. I don't believe that at all. I believe there's places in the throne that are reserved right now for MVPs. And I believe there's going to be MVPs in our day. I believe the Apostle Paul's going, man, why was I born back then? There's some crazy stuff could be done now. I could be in the book in a big way. Wow. We have some people who do some really extraordinary things. There's always going to be some MVPs. And JL, named forever, throughout all eternity in the living word, she was an MVP in an amazing victory. Don't you want to be the most valuable player? I just want to play. I just hope I get on the floor. You know, I wouldn't mind just a couple of shifts. Are you kidding? I want to be on the whole game. You know what I'm really glad about? It's the end of the game. That's when you put the superstars on the field. When you really want to win, you put in your most valuable players. You don't put Michael Jordan on the bench when there's a last minute in the game and you're down by 2 points. That's why you're here today. That's why God placed you now. Because he esteems you as somebody who can do something wild for him. All right, the last one, and here's the last one. The glory of God. The light shines until it comes to full strength. God wants us to come to full strength. One more slide. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to let you go because I've got some reruns to watch. Second Chronicles 7:14. Here it is. You ready? First, we'll change the whole city. My people, called by my name, will humble themselves if they will pray. They'll seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. And I will heal their land. I'm so honored and privileged to go. I've been in 5 continents, been in apostolic churches and other churches in 5 continents. And what I'm seeing in the world today is the glory of God being poured out like never before. I'm seeing people being saved, societies changing, and shifts like you wouldn't believe. And God's going to do it in London. He's going to do it here. And he's going to do it with us. But I'm so honored to serve a church where, you know, we have a global impact. And we have a local impact, a regional impact. And this is an amazing group of people right here. You turn around, you look, these are some amazing people right here. We're really, really blessed. But I'm serious about this right here. You know, I'm giving everything. I mean, it's all in. There's nothing else I want to do with my life except serve the purpose of God. And I'm so honored to serve an amazing church like this. But I ask you, just willingly, with everything that's in you, so recklessly fall in love with Jesus and offer yourself willingly, because this is a day of power.